Well, good day everyone. Welcome to The Journey this week. It's the third Sunday of Easter, this wonderful period of around about 50 days where we celebrate the beautiful, wonderful, miraculous events of the resurrection, breaking open scripture, hearing from our wonderful presenters, as we're encouraged in our journey of faith and joyful living in that faith too, particularly in this Easter season. You're going to be hearing from some great people this week. Fantastic to have Father Mike Delaney from down in Tasmania. He's going to talk to us about the importance of hospitality. Jesus always looked for opportunities to have a meal, to start a party, to bring people together. And we're going to hear how Father Mike looks for opportunities to do that too and what the fruit of that is. Great to have Dr. Byron and Francine Parola back on the show too. They continue to do amazing work in the area of marriage formation, marriage enrichment. Great reminder today about three magic words that you need to use and use often in married life. Father Tony Percy, he's with us, of course. It was great to see him last week here in the Diocese of Wollongong as he came up and spoke at a really wonderful celebration for our Vicar General, Father Bernard Gordon, and congratulations to him on 30 years of ordained ministry. What a contribution he's made to the Kingdom of God in wonderful ways. And it was great to have Father Tony Percy, who's a great friend of his and who spoke at that Mass and the event afterwards. He's got some great things to say to us this week. As always, Father Tony is so worth listening to. Mother Hilda Scott, of course, Wisdom from the Abbey. She's got a wonderful God spot this week called The Frame. It'll make sense when we get there. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but gee, it's good. All to do with an artwork and the frames that often surround them and what really takes our attention. But to kick us off this week, really, really pleased to have Father Josh Wicker. I've known Josh for years and years and years, since he was a young teenager. He's now an ordained priest with the Missionaries of God's Love. He's based up at Peakhurst, looking after two really dynamic parishes there at Peakhurst and Penshurst, doing lots of great things in evangelisation and renewal and outreach and huge impact on the lives of so many people who were in the church and remain in the church, but drawing plenty of others too into a life with Christ. Father Josh this week is going to talk to us about the importance of the here and now. And he's doing so in reference to this week's gospel reading. It's from Luke 24, verses 35 to 48. As we move through these wonderful Easter season readings, this one being all about the fact that Christ explained that the Christ would suffer. He had to explain this about himself to the unbelieving disciples and apostles, and on the third day rise from the dead. Let's get into that now. Let's hear the gospel proclaimed by Max Norden. He's done a great job, not only in bringing this show together this week, I'm just joining the dots for you, but he's also going to proclaim the gospel. He's got some great music lined up for us as well. We've got the psalm for the third Sunday of Easter in the mix too. Then after the break, straight in to that great piece that we've got from Mother Hilda Scott. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you joined us this week, the third Sunday of Easter, on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The disciples told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized Jesus at the breaking of bread. They were still talking about all this when Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." In a state of alarm and fright, they thought they were seeing a ghost. But he said, "Why are you so agitated? And why are these doubts rising in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. Yes, it is I indeed. Touch me and see for yourselves. A ghost has no flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Their joy was so great that they still could not believe it, and they stood there dumbfounded. So he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they offered him a piece of grilled fish, which he took and ate before their eyes. Then he told them, "This is what I meant when I said, while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms has to be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "So you see how it is written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that in his name, repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to this. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the Gospel Reflection with Father Joshua Wicker.
So here we are on the third Sunday of Easter. And yet again, we're given another of these resurrection appearances of the Lord. And one thing that we see as a common thread through them is Jesus and the evangelists stressing that Jesus has come and returned present to them physically. Yes, in a glorified state, but physically. That Jesus is stressing, as we hear in the gospel today, he says, look at my hands and feet. Yes, it is I indeed. That he's not simply some spiritual vision, that they're not in some trance, that Jesus is physically present to them. And this is fundamentally important because Jesus comes to redeem us in the fullness of our humanity, in the fullness of our lived experience. That just as Jesus returns glorified in the life of the apostles and disciples here in this story that we have today, so too, Jesus wants to come and be truly present to us in the midst of our humanity and our human experience. That Jesus isn't just some metaphor, that his resurrection isn't some spiritual analogy that's devoid from real meaning in our lives. That he comes to be amongst us, that he comes to open our mind and our hearts to see how he's working in the here and now of our lives. That he comes to be with us in the midst of our experience and our circumstance. Let's take a moment to reflect on what are the areas in my life, in the context of my life here and now, that I most need to experience the resurrection power of Jesus. That we wouldn't see Jesus just as some spiritual analogy to make us feel better, but to know that sacramentally and spiritually he comes to meet us, to enter into our lives and into our story, to come and to bring that change and transformation to us. So let's bring that to the Lord and make that our prayer. Jesus, come and meet me in that place and bring your resurrection to new life in me today. Amen.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full. You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
There's a story told of an elderly couple who longed to make the trip to the Amsterdam National Museum in order to see a Rembrandt painting, The Night Watch. I remember making such a trip to the Louvre in Paris many, many years ago to see Rembrandt's Philosopher in Meditation, so typical of Rembrandt's work. There's the play of colour, the fall of light on the subject, and The Night Watch is no exception. Is a glorious study of light, and as such one feels drawn right into the scene, examining the characters and working out the story in their painting before you realise you're doing it. That's in The Night Watch as well. No wonder the couple wanted to see it. They went to no end of trouble to get there, and then there was the long walk through the many corridors until they finally reached the famous painting. I can just imagine their arrival and standing in front of this painting for the first time. The usher overheard the husband say to the wife, "Oh, look, what a beautiful frame." And from that point on, their attention was firmly fixed right there, the glories of the work of art lost on them. This is not really uncommon, is it? You can even hear this kind of thing in conversations. You can be talking to someone about something important to you, and the other can often be caught up on really the incidental, the red herring, something that doesn't really matter. It was just the bit that you put into the conversation to frame it, and you realise you haven't been heard at all. I know someone who as a child decided to polish a lino floor while her mother was out and give her a big surprise when she got back. It took ages, and she awaited her mother's arrival with eager anticipation. She couldn't wait to see the smile on her face and hear the words of gratitude that would inevitably follow. Instead, the mother pointed out the edges of the room that the child had missed. After all these years, that story can still be told with amazing freshness. If it's good enough for God to ignore the frame in us and look straight into what really matters, couldn't we do the same? And furthermore, this week, let's make a pact to look beyond the frame of what happens to you and I, what happens inside us and what happens around us. And let's look instead with God's eyes to what really matters.
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Great reflection on a couple having a look at a Rembrandt painting and how they got distracted by the frame rather than the incredible artwork that actually was inside it. Now, God never does that. He always looks at what's inside. The frame is circumstantial in many ways. Now, we're called to do the same, particularly in our dealings with people who sometimes it can be easy to overlook. Thanks to Mother Hilda Scott for that great insight, that great God spot and wonderful reminder. After the break, you're going to be hearing from the wonderful Father Tony Percy. He's from down Canberra, Goulburn Way. Can't wait to hear what he's got to say to us this week in his segment, The Word. Before that, though, is Chris Tomlin. Praise him forever. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. Thanks for joining us this week on The Journey.
On the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
And now, with the Word, here's Father Tony Percy with his weekly reflection.
And now the third Sunday of Easter. The first Sunday we had the Gospel of Mark, that very pithy, short Gospel of Mark. Last week, the beautiful Gospel from John, chapter 20. And now this week we have the Gospel of Luke, which looks to me like it can be divided into three parts. First part is the disciples on the road to Emmaus come back and they tell their story and how they recognise Christ at the breaking of the bread, one of the earliest descriptions of the Eucharist. One of the other names that was given to the Eucharist very, very early on was the medicine of immortality. It's a fantastic name that the Christians understood that Christ had granted them the gift of immortality and the gift of resurrection. So they named the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. They named it not only the breaking of the bread, a reference to the Last Supper and a reference to that magnificent scene on the resurrection, but also the medicine of immortality. It says that in that first part of the Gospel, they tell their stories, how they told their story and how they recognised Christ in the breaking of the bread. That would be a very good exercise, I think, for more Christians to tell the story of faith to each other. That would be something that would really confirm us in faith. And no doubt when that happens, then the risen Christ slowly becomes more and more visible in our communities. That's worth looking at, I think. The second part of the Gospel is the really realistic sense of the resurrection that Luke gives us. And the third part is when Christ then explains how he had to suffer and how he had to suffer and rise again. And this would grant repentance, would grant grace for the repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's the third part. Let's focus on the second part, which is the incredibly realistic sense of the resurrection here that Luke brings us into. So Jesus appears among them and he says to them, "Peace be with you." And then they're in a state of alarm and they can't really believe what's happening. And so he says, "Look, give me your hands and put it into my side. Touch me. Touch me," he says. And then to drive the realism even more, that is the continuity between Jesus of Nazareth, his historical body, and his resurrected body, Jesus says to them, "Well, give me a piece of fish," which he ate in front of them, to show the realism of the resurrected body of Christ. Two words spring to mind about the resurrection, given this magnificent scene, and really given last week's Gospel scene and the week before as well. The two words that come to my mind are the authenticity of the resurrection scenes and the integrality, how the scenes are integral. The resurrection is an integral event. So firstly, the authenticity of the resurrection scenes. We know that in the ancient world, it was the custom to break into the tomb, unwrap the body quickly, throw the body into a corner, and then take the shroud or the clothes or the cloths and sell them on the black market. That didn't happen here. There was an empty tomb. The cloths remained. So the reverse happened. The cloths remained, but there's no body. So the empty tomb helps us to believe. And then the resurrection appearances that Christ let himself be seen, the texts all say, they drive home the authenticity of the resurrection as well. That is that they take some time in recognising Christ in his risen state. If you were going to fabricate the evidence, you'd sort of say, "Well, look, he just appeared quickly. We understood it very easily." But they didn't. They took time. And this shows that Christ in his glorified body, his historical but now glorified body, is somewhat different to his older body that belonged to the Jesus of Nazareth for 33 years. So authenticity, certainly. And I'm using the word integral, the resurrection's an integral event. That is, the resurrection applies to our body, soul and spirit. Our bodies will be resurrected. If you want to go to something that's fabulous on this, go to John Paul II's Theology of the Body, the third part, the resurrection of the body, where he comes up with this extraordinary idea that the human body will come, the human person will come to absolute, authentic subjectivity in a way that's never been experienced on earth before. We'll become profoundly more human as a result of the resurrection of the body, he says. It's a resurrection of the body. So, yes, the resurrection of our senses, our five senses, which slowly but surely get depleted over life. The same can be said of our emotional life. It'll be resurrected. So Thomas Aquinas, in his great teaching document, the Summa Theologica, gives this magnificent dissertation on the emotional life, the fact that we have 11 emotions divided into two parts, more on that later, but they'll be resurrected. Then our soul will be resurrected at our death. So our minds, our intellects, they become much clearer. Our wills, our choosing. Yes, we'll just be choosing and willing for Christ for the all of eternity in a perpetual relationship with Him and the other figures of the Trinity and all the communion of saints. And then our memories will be resurrected. So all those people that are suffering from dementia, all the people that look on, have no fear. The memories will be resurrected, as Augustine says. And then our spirits will be resurrected. That is, our ability to see God face to face. We will understand God looking at us, and we'll be able to look on Him, gaze on Him for all eternity. And it will take an eternity to understand the mystery and the grace of the resurrection of Christ and how it applies to us in eternity, but also now in our period of time that we live in.
I hope you enjoyed that from Father Tony Percy. Always good stuff. He's been with us for coming up for a year now. Such a dynamic and punchy, I think was the word to describe his manner of speaking and delivering a talk or a homily last week. And we got more of the same there in what he's contributed to the journey for us this week. Before that, we heard from Vertical Worship, Lamb of God. Love them and love these guys that are coming up now too. Wren Collective, Christ Lives in Me. After the break, Byron and Francine Parola are going to remind us about three magic words that need to be used often in the marriage relationship. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. It's the third Sunday of Easter, a time of great joy. I'm so glad you joined us this week on the journey.
I cast my life like ashes on the waves and leave behind all of my selfish ways. My past is gone, now all that's left is grace. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I have been crucified with Christ. Christ lives in me. I have a second chance in life. My future's open wide. I know Christ lives in me. He lives in me. My dreams are surrendered at the cross. My hand held high. have a second chance at life. My future's open wide.
Hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
Here's Byron and Francine Parola with Smart Loving, tips for vibrant marriages and family life.
Pope Francis gathered with 20,000 engaged couples to talk about the art of married life, which he summarised in three simple words.
Hi, we're Byron and Francine Parola from Smart Loving, and today we're discussing the power of three magic words.
So what advice did Pope Francis have for the engaged couples? He put forward a simple formula for marital success in three words: please, thanks, and sorry. These three words can seem mundane, but when properly understood, can help couples build solid and joyful marriages.
Firstly, the word please encourages us to approach the other with respect and reverence so that we don't impose ourselves, but rather treat the other as an equal. Please is a polite request, said Francis, to be able to enter into the life of someone else with respect and care. In a world that is dominated by me-centric mentalities, please reminds us that the world does not revolve around me and my needs. Rather, it shows us that we are called to be in service of others, especially our beloved.
Secondly, the word thanks. Gratitude is an essential virtue for healthy and happy living for every Christian, including couples. It's a powerful habit for building positivity and optimism. Saying thanks helps us to remember that the other is God's gift to us. Do we know how to say thank you? Asked Francis. In your relationship, it's important to keep alive your awareness that the other person is a gift from God, and we should always give thanks for gifts from God.
Thirdly, the word sorry. Noting that we all make mistakes, Francis said, this is why we need to be able to use that simple word, sorry. He observed how people tend to justify their actions by blaming and accusing others, and he noted that in recognising our mistakes and apologising for them, the Christian family grows. And lest we be uncertain as to what we might apologise for, Francis offers some tips. I'm sorry if I raised my voice today. I passed you without greeting you. I was late. If this week I have been so silent. If I have talked too much without ever listening. I forgot. I was angry and took it out on you. If we are honest with ourselves, there are so many sorries we can say to each other every day.
There it is, three simple words, please, thanks and sorry. Simple, yet profound wisdom.
We're Byron and Francine Parola. For more tips on relationships, visit smartloving.org.
Please, thanks and sorry. Man, there's many a time I wish I'd used those words sooner rather than later. They're simple, but they're so important. We need to hear them and we need to speak them, particularly in those most important relationships, particularly in married relationships. We can't neglect them just because we're with those that we love the most. In fact, we need to be more deliberate in using words like please, thanks and sorry. Not getting too blasé or familiar. What's that saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. Let's never get too familiar with each other, particularly in our marriages. Please, thank you, sorry. Thanks to Byron and Francine Parola there. A timely reminder. After the break, rounding us out for this week's show, we're going to hear from the ever-engaging Father Mike Delaney from down in Tassie, based in Hobart now. He loves bringing people together. I've had the wonderful experience of being taken out to dinner with Father Mike, so has my wife. He loves company. He loves making people feel special. He loves engaging with them, and he's got a story about bringing his brother priests together in clergy lunches. And let's face it, that's exactly what Jesus did to really get to the heart of the matter and to build relationships. That's after the break. Here's some more music, though. Here's Torren Wells, Crazy About You. After the break, Father Mike Delaney, as I said, is going to round out the show. Faith. hope, love and life. We're in the Easter season, which means he is risen. That's the source of our hope. That's the source of our joy. So glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
He's crazy about you. Didn't want to live without you. He traded the stars for a chance at your heart, just to show you it's true. He's crazy about you. Died so you didn't have to. Tore your failure apart. Now he wears your scars. That's how much he loves you. He's never been mad at you. He's only been madly in love. And it's never been about what you do. It's always been about what he's done. It's something you just can't hear enough. Oh, he's crazy about you. Didn't want to live without you. He traded the stars for a chance at your heart, just to show you it's true. He's crazy about you. Died so you didn't have to. Yeah, yeah. Tore your failure apart. Now he wears the scars. That's how much he loves you. Just to show you it's true. He's crazy about you. Died so you didn't have to know. Tore your failure apart. Now he wears his scars. That's how much he loves you.
Together on the journey, faith, hope and love for life in all its fullness.
And now, seeing God in life's everyday events, here's Father Mike Delaney.
Back in the early 80s, a couple of priests who worked in special ministries in the Archdiocese shared a house next door to a church in the Cathedral Parish. Each Saturday they did their washing and cleaned the house and then enjoyed a lunch together. After a few months, they were joined by a layman who brought them Saturday Age, the Weekend Australian, and a couple of beers. Over time, a number of other priests also joined this small group, and a bit of a tradition started. Then one of the priests was appointed to look after a small parish within the Hobart region, But the dinners continued with the remaining man corralling people to assist him in preparing the meals. Then as the 1990s began, this second man was asked to move interstate to take on a national role. He asked me if I might consider taking on the responsibility of providing this opportunity for people to gather each week. I had recently moved to a new parish and we had undertaken the building of a new parish house, so I was willing to accept the challenge. Each weekend for the next 6 years, except for times of holidays and times when I served in the Navy, I provided a place where the clergy of the south of our state could gather each Saturday for a simple meal at a general natto. When I moved further out of the Hobart region, people found it a little difficult to travel the extra distance. So I started to act as the organiser for a monthly meal that we kept up for the next 10 years. Sadly, when I left the south to move to Launceston and other parishes in the north of the state, these meals became less frequent, almost to being held only once or twice a year. Now, I've been back in the south for the last 3 years, and I've started again at least monthly gatherings, and I still coordinate guys to host the events. But my reason for speaking about these meals is because, as clergy, we frequently isolate ourselves from each other because we are too busy, and as clergy, we are really not that different from everyone else, who face the challenges of being busy and having so many competing demands on our time that we feel we don't have the time to just be. Recent events have told us in no uncertain terms that we need to make time to be human and to find healthy forms of sharing our thoughts, our struggles, our joys and triumphs in ways that bring peace to our own lives and support for one another. When we read the Gospels, we see that Jesus used meals to engender a sense of welcome and belonging, and made everyone who was at the table feel as if they were part of something special. I'd like to suggest that maybe the next time you gather with your family and friends, you might take a moment and allow some of the stuff that might have been part of the preparation or that day dissipate, so that you might know the great wonder that sharing a meal can really be, especially shared with those whom you love.
By your cry. what may say. We know your word will never change. We stand on better promises. Nothing's gonna shake our faith, no matter what the world may say. We know your word will never change. We stand on better promises. We stand on better promises. We stand.
Great song to finish with there, Planet Shakers, The Rock. And before that, Father Mike Delaney, The Importance of Meals, Welcome, Bringing People Together. I love doing that. Myself and my wife love having people over and hosting people for dinner. And as soon as you do that, you break new ground with people and you break bread with them, don't you? Build new elements of relationships, new trusts, new insights. It's what Jesus did. And whenever we can, we're going to try and do it too. So thanks to Father Mike, thanks to Byron Francine Parola, Tony Percy, Father Tony from down in Queanbeyan there. So great to have him on the show. Mother Hilda Scott. And of course, right back at the top of the show, we can't forget about him, Father Joshua Wicker. He's from the Missionaries of God's Love, and he spoke to us about the importance of being in the here and now. And in the here and now, experiencing the resurrection power of Jesus. That's a good point back to the start of the show. And a good way to end the show, too, as we remind ourselves that we're in this Easter season of the resurrection and of great joy. We will be bringing you the show again next week. Thanks for listening in, and we hope you can join us as we've got another great lineup of presenters building you up in your journey of faith and your discipleship. That'll be the journey next week. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you've been on the journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.